If you haven't noticed this, you can always tell what Adina's thinking by looking at her face. So, all right, it's good. Let me pray for us. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that while we were not just strangers to you, but while we were your enemies, that Christ died for us. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who welcomed us into your family. And Lord, we thank you for the rich, rich privilege of walking together as a community from different languages and nations and tongues and tribes, following Jesus together. Lord, I thank you for Justin's family. As they spend time here, I pray that they would learn English. I pray that they would find jobs. I pray that the children would get into good schools. And I pray that you would help all of us to help them along the way. Lord, I thank you for the many in this church that have been in the same place 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and for just the testimonies of your goodness in their lives. Lord, we also just ask for your grace now as we look at your word briefly, that you would encourage us, comfort us, convict us, challenge us, grow us, and help us to see Jesus. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're visiting, we're so glad that you're here. And for everybody, I just want to let you know we're doing something a little different this week. And we announced this last week, but here's what we're going to do over the next 40 to 45 minutes, something like that. I'm going to preach a shorter sermon, kind of like Caban last week. I'm trying to learn from him. But the reason for that is we want to take time, as we said last week, to just have a discussion at the end of our church service this morning around these two things that we've been talking and praying about, the church budget situation as well as the associate pastor search. So the last 2 weeks there have been ministry moments with some information, but we want to have time for a dialogue and question and answer. And so the way we're going to do that is just through a shorter sermon. We'll come to the Lord's Supper together and encourage everybody to stay. The kids will be in children's church and nursery, and it'll be about the same amount of time for them. Of course, if you're visiting or if you have to leave, you're certainly free to do that. But the hope is we'll do that, and we'll still wrap up around the normal time, around 12:15. So, okay? But I want to look at God's word with you this morning from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. This morning, I wanted to just combine these two things together, this great testimony from Justin's family of God's goodness, but also their endurance. Did you catch that? What was it? 6, 7 years that they were in Nairobi. And before that, many years since they were displaced in Congo. And they've endured. They've persevered. The words in the song, if you saw the English translation, it was exactly about that. God's faithfulness and goodness during the trials of life, and that we're going to see his goodness and his glory. So that's the same story that we see at the beginning of the book of Revelation in the New Testament. And so we want to learn from one another, and we want to learn from God's word. So just invite you to follow along with me in your bulletins or up front here, Revelation 1, verses 4 through 11. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Amen. And has made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum and to Thyatira, to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. This is the word of the Lord. We want to be encouraged and strengthened by it. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. What did you expect out of your life? Especially those of you who are older, although you don't have to be too old. Every one of us encounters a gap between the reality of our lives and some of our expectations, right? Brandon's like, yeah, I've been there. And many of us can get discouraged, literally have the courage taken out of our hearts because of this gap between our hopes and our dreams and our expectations and the reality of our lives. Often when we're young, it's a good thing. We are idealistic. And we think that at a certain point we'll be at a certain place, maybe with our jobs, with our finances, with our relationships. We'll be at a certain place in our walk with God, in our growth with God, in our health, in our strength. We have expectations about our family, about our church. And the problem is, of course, that we live in a world that is broken. It is depraved. It is evil. And I think those of you who are part of our church or understand sort of we're in this Presbyterian and Reformed tradition, we have this doctrine that we call total depravity, that everything in the world is broken. There's nothing in this world that hasn't been affected by sin and the fall. But I think we forget that doctrine too often, right? And we expect that there will be parts of our lives or even our whole lives that are untouched by this mess of this world. And so we get discouraged. And often we respond with despair, with cynicism, with anger, with bitterness. We respond, don't we, by blaming others. You have failed me. We respond sometimes by blaming God. God, you have failed me. You are not good. You are not loving. And all of this, of course, can leave us feeling incredibly alone, in despair, isolated, and without hope. Revelation was written to a group of churches that were experiencing all sorts of trials. There was persecution from outside by the emperors of the day, and there was more that was going to be coming. Physical persecution, brutality, confiscation of their property, death, martyrdom. But also in these churches, if you read a little bit later in Revelation, you see that in the letters, there are things going on within the churches, not just outside, like they lost their first love for Jesus. They were experiencing extreme financial poverty and hardship. The churches were filled with false teaching. There was sexual immorality that was going on among them. They had become spiritually dead and lukewarm. They were no longer useful in the kingdom. And so there were problems from outside and problems within. And of course, the whole letter was written to encourage and to build up the church in this very place. But I've been struck by this verse, just these lines for a while, in Revelation 1:9, where John says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. Just a few things that I want us to learn, that I'm trying to learn from these couple of lines. And one is that we need endurance. We need to expect that we're going to need that. just to have that in our mind. This life that you are living is going to require long-term endurance. Now, the second thing is this, that we've actually been given a community of endurance and a community for endurance, one another. But the third thing is just ultimately this, that Christ is our hope because he has endured. So real quickly this morning, we need endurance. I used to live on a street called Pleasant Street. That was really wonderful. Not really. It was up in North City near Fairgrounds Park, and I think there were a number of shootings in the year that we lived on Pleasant Street, right on Pleasant Street. You all want to live on Pleasant Street, right? You want to live on Easy Street. I live on Hartford Street. Sometimes it feels like I live on King's Highway. You know, the bridge is falling down and the traffic isn't moving. We're stuck. We all want to live in the city of God. We want to live in the city of hope, but we live in St. Louis, the city of man. And John was writing this living on Patmos, in exile, on this island where they sent the criminals. And he goes on further to say, this is actually your address, people. Where do you live? And he says, in tribulation and in the kingdom and in patient endurance. That's where we reside. Tribulation, kingdom, and patient endurance. This word tribulation, it can be translated affliction, distress. But what's interesting, there are two words that can relate to affliction and distress. And this is actually the word that deals more with internal feeling pressed or conflicted. It's not even so much from the outside, but it's just internal. It's feeling trapped. I remember I had a friend who was a pastor one time. Of course, pastors are supposed to be called to ministry. And he said, brother, I don't feel called. I feel trapped. You guys can relate, right? You feel trapped at different times in your life. And this is part of what we experience in this broken world. So we need endurance. We also live, though, in the kingdom. And earlier in this passage that I read in verse 6, you see that Jesus has made us a kingdom, priests to his God. Kingdom, we were singing about it this morning, the reign of God, the reign of King Jesus, this glorious, righteous reign of Jesus, the resurrected, victorious King. But then why do we need endurance? And one of the most helpful things that Stephanie and I kind of together, we were dating at the time, but we laid hold of through a book that we read when we were in college, was this nature of the kingdom. Living in the kingdom of God is this dual reality. Jesus is the king, and the kingdom is here now, but it's not yet fully here. You know that's where we live, right? We live in this place that is the now and the not yet. The kingdom has come. Jesus rose. He reigns, but we still pray, your kingdom come. And so we live in between the times, and so we need endurance. John just says it very briefly there, in the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Steadfastness. Church, brothers and sisters, we've got to learn steadfastness. Endurance, perseverance over time. I'm just so humbled when I hear about those who have waited, like many of our immigrant and refugee families, not just for days or weeks, not just for months, but for years, and endured and kept their hope in God. We need endurance. We need to be a community of endurance. We've been given a community of endurance. I love this. John says, your brother and partner in the tribulation, the kingdom, and the endurance. You know, it's hard to endure, but it is impossible to endure alone. Some of us have tried, right? We need one another. He says, your brother. Just imagine you're in this church in Sardis or Thyatira or Philadelphia, and you hear from John, this apostle, this one who was Jesus, and he says, I'm with you. I'm with you, Randy. You are not alone. I'm your brother. I'm your partner. We are in this together. And so that's how we're going to endure. We're in this together. And that is, friends, that is just why we need one another. Community groups, house churches, ministry teams. Let me encourage you, you need each other. And if you are feeling all alone, isolated, you need others. And also, let me just encourage you with this. You need to not wait till other people find you. You need to pursue others. Step out of that place. Initiate relationships. It's work, okay? I remember somebody once just struggling with loneliness, and I said, this was years ago, I said, you know, it takes a lot of work to develop friendships. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. And how often those words have come to my own mind because I've forgotten them myself, right? Your brother, your partner. I love these pictures. Just one is a picture of endurance and partnership for encouragement. So we were at a game. Boys, I'm going to tell this story in a minute. Didn't check with you, but it's a good one. We were at a football game a couple weeks ago, and Sam was playing, thankfully, after his appendix is healed. And he's on the defensive line, which means it's his job to go get whoever has the ball, you know, and to bust through the line and tackle them. And I love, you know, as a dad, just hearing over the loudspeaker, tackled by number 57, Sam Vandenbrink. But what I really love is this, standing next to Benjamin, and he jumps up and he says, that's my brother. We're in this together, all right? Let's be that kind of community. That kind of community. Chris and Martha serving the homeless, that's my brother. That's my sister. Keep on, guys. Keep on. When I saw this other picture this past week, at this tragic death of Junu Rai. And this young woman, this mother of three. And as I saw people gathering around one of the children, the girl, and surrounding her and embracing her and hugging her and crying with her and praying with her. In your pain, you are not alone. Your brother, your sister, your partner. We need one another, church. God's given us this gift of community. But of course, ultimately, He's given us Himself. He's given us Himself. John says, I'm your brother, your partner in tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. We're in this together, but together we are in Jesus. We are united to Christ, who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The author of Hebrews says it this way. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Consider him who endured such hardship, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne. Consider him who endured such hostility so that you will not grow weary. Fix your eyes on Jesus, people. This race requires endurance. You will face trials and challenges in your marriage with your kids. You will wrestle and you will battle sickness and emotional distress and broken relationships and difficulties in your job. And He has not left you. God has not left you. Jesus persevered. He endured the cross. He rose again. He is with you. Let us fix our eyes on Him together. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, the creator, the ruler, the sustainer of all things. I want to just leave you with these pictures again. It's not only that we encourage one another, but when you're running this race, when you're loving others, when you're pouring yourself out, Jesus is with you, and He stands up and He says, that's my brother. That's my sister. Hebrews says He's not ashamed to call us brother. And when you're weak and when you're struggling, and so many of you are there right now this morning, Jesus knows your struggles. He is a high priest who can identify with your weakness. And he embraces you. And he says, I am with you. I am with you. We know that we can make it, right? Not on our own, but with one another and with Jesus. It's what I need, isn't it? It's what you need. Amen. Let me pray for us, church. God, we thank you for your word. You are almighty. And Lord, we just thank you that you placed us in your family and your community. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, and you are making intercession for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We will make a circle around the outside of the sanctuary. We're going to come to the Lord's table together this morning. Jesus was with his disciples, and they were in the upper room.